So hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of that podcast, author of How to Fight Presidents and staff writer for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
Hello, everybody. I am Soren Bowie. I am a co-host of this podcast. I'm a co-producer of American Dad. And I used to work at a website called Cracked, and that's probably where you know me from.
Yeah. And hopefully they do know you, and hopefully also they know this podcast. I got very self-conscious for the first time introducing this show because I was playing for an audience that I assumed listened to every episode, and so I sped through the intro, and then I thought if someone was just trying to give this a shot, it would make them very tense.
Because it, all that information's firing at them like a shotgun.
Yeah, like the first thing you heard is my nasally weird voice sprinting through as many words as possible.
But I feel like it's at this point, we have to do it that way. At this point, it's not fair to the people who do listen to the show, who have to hear that every single time. Like, I know who you are.
Yeah, it's they're hungry for the real protein of the show. They're like, yeah, skip this filler. Let's get into the real focused content that I crave.
Get to the questions already. Thanks to Skillshare for supporting Quick Question. Skillshare empowers you to accomplish real growth. Do something today you couldn't do yesterday with classes designed for real life. Skillshare is an online learning community with so much to explore, real projects to create, and the support of fellow creatives. Explore your creativity at skillshare.com/QQ and get a 1 month free trial of premium membership.
Thanks to Raycon for supporting Quick Question. Get crisp, powerful beats at half the price of other premium audio brands. Raycon's offering you 15% off your entire order, and here's what you've got to do to get it. Go to buyraycon.com/QQ. That's it.
Thanks to Mack Weldon for supporting Quick Question. Mack Weldon is a premium men's essentials brand that believes in smart design and high-quality fabrics. For 20% off your first order, visit mackweldon.com/QQ and enter promo code QQ. Now, you and I have I don't even know if I'd call him a mutual friend. We have a mutual acquaintance named Pat Castles.
Oh, yeah. Who, no, we're pals.
Worked at College Humor for a very long time. I think he's maybe on Samantha Bee now.
He is, yes.
This is a circumstance in which this was somebody who I met maybe 6 or 7 times. And every single time, he had no idea that we'd ever met before. So it was that over and over again. It was him introducing himself to me over and over again. Oh, hey, I'm Pat Castles. And I'd have to be like, yeah, hi, I'm Soren Bowie. Nice to meet you. And like going through titles over and over again. And it was like, it's at a certain point, I thought he was just fucking with me because it got to be like 6 times that this happened. And we would meet at the same events too. So like we'd see each other at Just for Laughs. And I'd be like, we were literally standing here last time we met. The circumstances could not be more similar.
And that's, I can't remember if I've asked you this or not. Will you tell someone, yes, we've met before? Or do you?
Never.
Do you play the game? Okay.
I play the game because I've been horrified when people are like, yes, we've met. And I've gotten to the point where I'll just say, oh, I'm so sorry. And that's it. And then I hope we all just move on. But, you know, I internalize that. I internalize that somebody has been like, yeah, we've met a few times. And it's really embarrassing. It's like more embarrassing than getting a name wrong, I think.
I've graduated to a strange middle ground where I'll say something like, yeah, I think we might have actually met before. I don't know. Because, like, even though I do know the real answer, I do that. I say that I pitch this impossible version of reality where where we're both right and we're both okay. No one should feel bad. One of us is wrong. We're not going to figure out who today, so let's just continue.
That's actually a really good idea. If you remember them, but you don't remember the circumstance.
Yeah.
And there's a really easy out to that, which is, no, we didn't. And then, fine, we all just move on.
And no matter what, you can start from scratch. Like, yeah, I think it's possible we've met, but just in case, I'm Daniel.
There's an actor, I won't say who it is, but when I recorded with them on American Dad, I was introduced to him and I said hello and he went, wonderful to hear you. And I was like, and immediately my showrunner was like, oh, do you guys know each other? And he was like, no, I say that to everyone just in case I've met them. So we were over Zoom and he just heard my voice and he was like, wonderful to hear you. And when he's in person, he says, it's wonderful to see you, which could suggest either we just met, or it could suggest it's great seeing you again, like implying that.
That's very smart.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I would steal that if I thought I would ever meet another person again.
I had a moment at the park yesterday where I took another child from my son's class to the park with him.
On purpose? And, okay, with him.
Yeah. Yep. And they were playing, and then I realized at a certain point, my kids are the only ones not wearing masks at this park. And so I very quickly made them put their masks on, and I thought, oh, we've regressed. We're back to where we don't even wear masks at parks.
Yeah.
And then I had this horrible thought of, this is just going to be it. This is it forever. This is never going to end, and I'm never going to have a normal life again.
Yeah, I think that's fair and wise. Well, we'll have a new normal life. We'll reinvent normal, and kids will be born into this new normal. And I think we should just, I don't think we should ever tell kids that we didn't used to have masks. Let's keep them in the dark on that forever.
I think my daughter is like, in the same way that I think kids get obsessed with cell phones when they're early on because they see so many people using them and they see you, your face buried in them. My daughter is very, very interested in masks. Like, she wants to wear one when we go outside. And I'm like, oh, bless your heart. Yeah. Like, you just want to be one of the big guys.
That's great. And like, so the reason I say don't tell the kids anything, keep them in the dark forever, is like, for work, we're often researching like old archival footage of things, and we're making points about whatever we're talking about. And we did one thing about housing discrimination. So we were going through all this old footage of like the suburb boom in the 30s when all these houses were created. And you're seeing these advertisements for houses where it's like, for just $200 down and $28 a month for 3 years, you can own a house. And I'm like, don't fucking tell me that. I'd rather not know anyone had that.
Yeah, you can have the American dream for the same price as an iPad. No, actually, you know what? Cheaper than an iPad.
I'd rather just continue living my life thinking we're all poor and we've always been poor.
Yeah, that's a shame.
We should get into the show. I have a quick question for you.
Yes. Okay, I would like to hear your quick question. Shoot.
Great. Can you think of any long-standing questions where a simple answer was presented to you way late in the game? And I can give you an example. I actually have a couple of these, but I'll just start with this quick one. I have been, for as long as I can remember, very annoyed whenever I order a dish with shrimp in a restaurant and the tails are still on the shrimp. It was always very irritating to me. And I thought, why are the chefs making this my problem? I now have to peel the tail off the shrimp and put it off to the side, and it takes up real estate on my plate. Just, you can do it whenever you're prepping the shrimp and cooking it, weave that into the process instead of giving me this extra work to do. And I just like sat being mad about a flawed system for so long in my life. And then recently I was checking out the comments on a New York Times recipe for a shrimp dish, and someone commented that exact question, and somebody else responded, oh, it's easier to pick up when using one's hands, which is common for enjoying shrimp. If one squeezes the tail section, all of the meat usually released from the very end. And then like a little thing on the bottom that says 80 people found this response helpful, because I'm sure a lot of people like me had this problem for so long, never thought to investigate why this might happen, saw this, and it immediately made such intuitive sense, because I was someone who would cut the meat of the shrimp off, discard the tail, and then like eat the shrimp with a fork. I didn't realize that you were supposed to grab the tail, eat from the tail with your hands, and then squeeze some tail meat into your mouth. I'm leaving meat on the table here.
Yeah, but very literally, I'm leaving meat on the table.
And it was just so satisfying for me to think this was a glitch in the world, and then someone was like, no, you're just stupid. This is the way it's supposed to be. Here's a very simple reason.
You know, but that's still, you're, two things. One, you could do that as a chef. At the last second when you're putting the shrimp in there, you've got the gloves on already. You just squeeze all the tails out so that people can enjoy them as they please.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason that work has to be outsourced. But also, this is a very surreal moment for me, because I think I saw somebody complaining about this online and somebody else gave a completely different answer that I thought was, oh, that makes perfect sense to me. And so I'm having it feels like maybe it was a dream at this point.
What was it? What was the The other explanation that you heard.
The other, and I remember it being a chef. Like somebody wrote on Twitter, somebody asked this question and somebody else responded and said that it was because when you take the shrimp, when you take the tails off before you cook the shrimp actually shrinks as it cooks. Like it maintains its form and everything a lot better if you leave some of the shell on. And then also that there's a ton of flavor that stays in the tail end of it, which is like the part you don't eat. A bunch of flavor in there, and then that absorbs into whatever the dish is that you're eating while you cook.
I love that too. All of these answers are hit answers.
So I don't,
and it makes me feel better about the world and my place in it.
There are actually rules for it.
Yeah,
you're right. And you know, I will never order a dish that's got mussels in it for that exact reason.
Yeah,
that I don't understand totally exactly how much of that I'm supposed to peel off. In the same way, when as a child, I didn't understand, like with buffalo wings, like, all right, how much, be real with me, how much of this thing am I supposed to eat? I'm going to eat the stuff that tastes like meat. Oh, but you're eating more. You're eating some of that cartilage stuff on the top. Oh, I guess I eat that too.
Right. You like, turn to someone else and it's like, oh, wow, he just left bone? Uh-oh.
Yeah, I've not been doing that. And I get nervous about, because I'm never going to eat the shells with just myself. I'm not going to go practice. So I'm with somebody at all times. So it's like, it's show night. And I don't understand. Like you scrape, if you just pry out the muscle, it's not like it just comes out cleanly.
No.
You leave little bits in there. And I'm not sure if I'm supposed to then be like, all right, now I got to go carve out the harder stuff.
Right. Now I use a different tool.
Hey, where are my Sartre heads out there? Or Sartre, as some of you might know him. He said the chief motivation behind all artistic creation was the desire to feel necessary in relationship to the world. Well, that's what we do. We are born to create. Whether you last picked up a paintbrush yesterday or in grade school, you can explore your creativity and be inspired through Skillshare. Skillshare is an online learning community that offers membership with meaning. With so much to explore, real projects to create, and the support of fellow creatives, Skillshare empowers you to accomplish real growth. Listen, whether you're a dabbler or you are a pro, Skillshare can help you reach the next level. That's what they're great at. They've got, it doesn't matter if you want to come in as a beginner, there's going to be a class for you. Also, if you're coming in, you're like, I don't need to waste my time on all this old stuff. I know all of this already. I just want to get better. Look, Skillshare's got you covered. They've got master classes as well. You can experience real improvement with hands-on projects and classes designed for real life. Skillshare is also incredibly affordable, especially when compared to pricey in-person classes and workshops, because an annual subscription is less than $10 a month. I started taking a new class. It's called Indoor Gardening. Grow houseplants, veggies, and herbs with Ekta Chaudhary. I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce her last name. I'm sorry, Ekta, if I'm getting that wrong. But as you know, I have a green thumb. I like to garden. Well, it turns out, I'm going to admit this to you now, I am bad with houseplants. I don't know how to keep them alive. Either I'm giving them too much sun, or they're not getting enough, or I drown them somehow. And my house is not filled with water, but somehow I still drown plants. I need the help. And this video series is helping me become a better nurse to my own plants. Some that I thought were long gone, I've brought back from the dead, basically. I'm very proud to announce that several of my houseplants are now thriving thanks to me and thanks to these videos. Explore your creativity at Skillshare.com and get 1 month free trial of premium membership. That's 1 month of premium membership at Skillshare.com/QQ. Yeah, I do have one of these. I actually have two. I think great. I might have talked about one on the show before, so I'll leave that one to the end. But have you ever been in the store? Picture this. You've been in the store and you're like, you know what? I've been a good boy this week. I get a treat. I'm going to go to the ice cream section. And
I'm famously lactose intolerant.
At this point, it's basically a bit that I keep forgetting you're lactose intolerant. Only one that I'm not trying to control. Okay, well, it's something I do. And I think there are options for you, although I have no idea what those taste like. So never mind.
No, they're not good.
You stick with your gummy bears.
Yeah, my version of treat was gummy bears, and everyone's really upset about it. So I've been much better.
That's not true. You're just saying that.
No, I swear to God.
Have you really?
I've never seen a bigger response to anything we've said on this show from you, from strangers on the internet, and from members of my family. Just people reaching out to be like, I don't like that you do this. I don't think it's good.
There are some people who responded to both of us saying that they're like, yeah, I do that all the time. And then they'd bring up some other crazy ass shit that they do, or like something in association with it. And so I would frequently write to you saying, is this the fucking company you keep?
Yeah, someone said, you're in good company, Dan. I do this too. I do it all the time. And they showed a picture of a freezer with that was like six rows deep of gummy bears. I was like, oh man, no, this is supposed to feel like an impulse thing.
We are not on the same team. Okay, well, I will go to the freezer section and picture me then dancing through the freezer section to, let's say, Toto.
Okay.
Because that's what's playing. And as I'm going, I'm looking at the ice creams. And as you know, vanilla is a favorite of mine. Mm-hmm. And I see there not just vanilla, but French vanilla as well. And I think, what the fuck's the difference? And I've had vanilla ice cream before, and I've had French vanilla ice cream before, and I wouldn't ever be able to tell you the difference between the two.
Okay.
I don't get it. One's just a little, I'm looking at them, one's a little more yellow, and that's it.
Yeah.
And I didn't ever understand what the difference was. It made no sense to me. And finally, I was just like, well, I have the internet now. I could just look this thing up. And so I looked it up, and there's a very reasonable explanation for it. French vanilla just means that there's egg in it.
Oh,
yeah, that's just ice cream with some egg. And doesn't change the consistency to me at all. It doesn't change the taste at all to me. But for some reason, they're just like, oh, in France, we do it with an egg.
Yeah, it must be because they looked at vanilla and said, this is not enough.
Oh, you deserve it, dude. You deserve that cackle.
Thanks, pal.
Well, imagine if I had just been silent. How mad would you have been?
I was prepped for a really sweaty explanation for that joke, and I'm glad that I didn't have to do it.
But there's another one that occurred to me recently, and I also, because I'm also at that age where I'm just like, if I don't get something, I'm like, huh, well, I'm going to look it up.
We're close enough in age, but I've gone a different road where if I don't understand something, that's it for that thing and me.
Oh,
that's, I'm just like, well, I guess they just designed trigonometry wrong. Oh, well.
That's how I treated it for a very long time, because the world was so amazing and new in all capacities that I was like, if I didn't understand something, I was like, whatever, I'm moving on to another thing. But now it's gotten boring and small, so I want to understand all the minutia.
Sure.
Well, so my son's teacher recently went from a miss to a missus. Mm-hmm. And I frequently write her emails because I'll just leave it there. No, I frequently write her emails because he has to be tested for these sight words every Friday. And like, I'll tell her when I think he's ready for the sight words test. And so each time I say, hello, Mrs. I'm not going to put her name on here, but Mrs. Blank. Mm-hmm. And every time I write it, I think, what the why is there an R in Mrs.? Like, why do we do Miss, MS? That makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
But then Mrs., why, let's just make that MSS. Like, that makes total logical sense to me. But MRS is like, that's head first crazy. What are we doing?
Sure.
And so I looked it up, and it's has to do with the mistress. That's what
I was
going
to guess. Yeah, because it's the analog to mister.
Yeah, and mistress means basically one who does something. Like, she has like a job within the house, and that just means like she's the wife. And yeah, so it was Mr. and Mistress. And then at some point we were just like, nah, let's shorten it.
Yeah.
And then let's just confuse everybody from the very first time they get into school and they have to write their teacher's names. And when they're like, oh no, the R is silent. And the kids will be like, oh, okay. So there's other words where the R is silent. No, not a single one. Every single other word you will pronounce the R.
There's so much going on in the world, whether it's stuff you're excited about, like the return of Broadway for me, or stuff you'd rather not think about, like the consequences of that return. You can't always control the vibes out there, but you can always control the vibes in your head with a pair of Raycon wireless earbuds in your ears where you can listen to, get excited, Broadway. Whether you use them to pump up, wind down, work, or work out, Raycons are my go-to for on-the-go audio. We're teaming up with Raycon, and you can get 15% off your Raycon order at buyraycon.com/QQ. These Raycon earbuds are impressive even before you start listening. They're new, everyday look. They feel and sound better than ever, and they're sleek. With an improved rubber oil look and feel and optimized gel tips for the perfect in-ear fit, these are impressive before you start listening. You get three new sound profiles to make sure everything you're listening to sounds its best with just the right amount of bass. There's pure mode. That's for podcast listening, blues, instrumental. There's balance mode. That's for, hey, podcast listening, rock, heavy rock, metal rock. And there's bass mode. That's hip-hop, EDM, reggae, funk, etc. There's also an all-new awareness mode for when you need to listen to your surroundings instead. Raycons offer 8 hours of playtime and 32-hour battery life. That's so much time! There's also a built-in mic, and you can take calls on your earbuds at the press of a button. Raycons start at half the price of other premium audio brands, but they sound just as good. And Raycons come with a 45-day happiness guarantee. Right now, you can get 15% off your Raycon order at buyraycon.com/QQ. That's buyraycon.com/QQ to save 15% on Raycons. That's good. Good for you for learning that. I think I knew that already.
Oh, okay.
Apologize. Yeah, there are some. The concern is always that you're just an idiot.
Yeah.
So you can't just. These are not things you could just like throw on Twitter and be like, "Did you guys know?" Because people will be like, yeah, "Yeah, man, everybody knew. Everybody in the world knew."
How did they let you out of? How did they let you out of high school thinking that? I have another one for this, and then we can probably move on. Yeah. This is adjacent to the shrimp thing because I was looking up recipes online, and there was there's like a hacky observation that's been passed around forever about recipes, both online and in cookbooks, where people are talking about the long preambles that before you get into the actual recipes, the thing that nobody actually wants when you're like, you just want to learn how to make Brussels sprouts. And you click on a link, and it's like, in 1978, my father used to take us to this small remote town in Italy. And it's like, fuck, how far do I have to scroll? Like, nobody wants this. It's a relatable, but at this point, hacky observation. And there's two problems with it. One, I know we all like to have fun making fun of this phenomenon, but most websites right now, when you click on a recipe, there's a button right at the top that says skip to recipe. It's very intuitive. Click the button. It's fine. This problem has basically solved itself, so we can all stop doing our bits about it. Two, the reason people do these preambles, and I just learned about it and it makes so much sense to me, is that you can't really copyright a recipe because a recipe is just a list of ingredients and anyone can put them together. So if you want to like build any kind of brand loyalty, and if you want to stand out, if you want to set yourself apart from a bland list of ingredients and steps, this is the only place. The preamble is the only place where you can like charm and bring something new to the table. Because even if you invent a recipe from scratch, if you're giving, if you're writing a cookbook, you're not going to say, and then ingredient number three is a secret. You have to put all the ingredients. So the second you publish a recipe, anyone in the world can steal it and put it up on a blog somewhere. So if you want any kind of future publishing cookbooks, this is the thing that you bring to the table. You bring your like your flair, your personal anecdotes, your little stories. That's why like people will sell cookbooks that are that have like a comedy bent to them, because it's like, I don't own the ingredients or the instructions for grilled cheese, but I can entertain you for a paragraph before we get into that stuff. And as soon as I learned that, I was like, yep, makes total sense. I will stop complaining about this.
Yeah. It's just now occurring to me too, that there are so many websites out there that they're content websites, but they're completely automated. So all they're doing is scraping other sites to steal content.
Yeah.
And it's such an easy way to steal and get like, have something that people are actually going to click on and use, which is like what they're hoping for. If you all you put up there was the, if they could just go to any website and steal 10,000 recipes without having the threat of that company coming after you saying, you got to take all this down, this is our content.
Yeah.
So it's basically like putting a fingerprint on each recipe.
Yeah. And it's why you see smart. Like a lot of Instagram chefs will post their stories of their food, and it's like not just a recipe and a good looking picture of food. It's like a very meticulously designed like twee atmosphere. You know, it's got like, this is a cool table that it's on, and there's like a lot of basically set design done in this thing that makes it very pleasing to watch someone put this food together. And that's like, yeah, man, I'm like, there's I can't sell eggs, onions, and cheese. I have to give you some other reason to keep coming back here. And for a lot of Instagram chefs. It's just like the enjoyable experience of watching a very pleasant looking room and kitchen setup.
That makes perfect sense to me. I'm way more inclined to use a recipe that somebody has just randomly posted online and just the recipe itself without even saying whether it's good or not, than actually like going and hunting for something, having to sit through the preamble and then like finding the recipe at the bottom. Cause also like there's a lot of like trick stuff in between. Yeah. Like the recipe is sometimes in like a box that looks sort of like it might be an ad. And so my brain will just skip over it. But like recently there was somebody on Twitter who posted a recipe for meatloaf and gave the smallest preamble. This is somebody named Gotha Zaraffle. Zaraffle? I don't know. But he says, when I was little, my mom's meatloaf was my favorite food, but only her meatloaf. I didn't like anyone else's, but she told me she would teach me how to make it when I was older. And when I was 19, she finally taught me, but she told me never to tell anyone else. And I was like, that's weird, but okay. Anyway, she was super fucking homophobic and abusive to me when I told her I was gay. So here's the recipe. I was like, I'm going to make it. I'll make that. Sounds great.
Well, that's all good stuff.
Yeah. Well, I have a quick question for you, Daniel.
Tight. Fucking ask it, buddy.
Oh, okay. Cool. What's an activity?
Jumping. You know.
Okay, let me get through the question. I'll say question mark at the end. That's how you know I'm done. What's an activity that everyone else loves? Everyone else seems to love. Like they would spend a Sunday doing it and be excited to do it, and you just don't get. Like it just has never appealed to you, and in fact seems not fun at all. I can go first here.
Sure.
The prospect of wine tasting is like hell to me.
Yeah.
I do not get it. I don't understand what the appeal is. I don't want to go out into the hot sun all day. I want to go see a vineyard because I've seen a vineyard before. And frankly, they all look the same. If a vineyard surprised me, maybe I would change my tune. But I don't want to go see a hot vineyard. I don't want to go stand there and drink a drink that I don't fucking like. I don't want to and pretend that I understand it. There's a lot of that, a lot of the notes and things like that that I don't understand in wine. I think a lot of it's pretend. I think people swirling their glass and seeing how the sugar runs down the sides and things is all very silly. And that I'd have to go and do that in front of somebody. I can't even go to a Whole Foods or pre-pandemic. I couldn't go to a Whole Foods and just take the samples without saying something about my, like giving them some hope that I might buy this food.
Right.
Like it's an incredibly awkward moment where I'm like, yeah, this is really a nice, what did you say this was? Cheddar? Oh, it's a cheddar cheese. Okay, that's really nice. And then I look at it for a little while and pretend like I'm going to come back. I mean, with wine, I'm not going to sit in front of somebody and be like, okay, yeah, that one tastes like wine. That one too. Yeah, that one's wine. That's the wine for sure. That one is definitely wine. And you're just taking little sips of it. It makes no sense to me. It sounds like a lot of standing and a lot of just awkward situations, and I hate it.
Yeah, I was seduced by the charm of it. When I used to live in California, that was certainly something that, like, if I had visitors in town, it's seems like a great way to spend a day because it's novel. I mean, we have vineyards in New Jersey, but we didn't go to them often. It's novel to go like in Temecula, you know, you're up high in on a vineyard and it's pleasant and it's quiet and you're drinking wine, which like carries an air of sophistication to it. And if I feel like it's one of those things, if you really knew your stuff, you think everyone's lying. I think some people know what they're talking about. And if I was one of those people, I might enjoy it more. But looking back, I really talked myself into it being a thing that I liked without actually liking it because yes, I don't like a small sip of a thing. I don't like answering questions about it. And I don't like this, the strange clock of it all, where it's like, all right, I had this one, I didn't like it, but now I have to wait for everyone else in my party to finish theirs so we can move on to the next step and learn about this new wine. And the other thing about it is I don't like wine very much. So anytime I drank it, it was always just like, I wish this was any of the other things that I like.
Yeah, you brought up an element that I really dislike about it, and I forgot to mention, which is that there's the fucking pop quizzes throughout the entire thing too, where they're like, so what do you taste? And you have to be like, sea bark. Is that a thing?
I got fucking hosed by this sommelier or whatever they are, where they were like, what do you taste? There's no wrong answers. And I was like, wood? Like, well, no.
That's a great answer. That's
I thought it was a pretty safe answer.
Yeah, you can't be wrong. They're all in those casks. Mack Weldon is a premium men's essential brand that believes in smart design and high-quality fabrics. If you're looking to save time on deciding what to wear, Mack Weldon has a solution for you with their new Daily Wear system. They take the onus off of you. They decide what you're going to wear for you. The Daily Wear system has clothes made with performance fabrics and smart design. This includes breathable t-shirts and polos, stylish button-ups, and shorts, underwear, and more. Wherever your summer takes you, Mack Weldon makes it easy for you to dress for any occasion, work, leisure, or play. Listen, you know exactly what I'm talking about when I say you open up your underwear drawer and you get excited about one or two particular pair in there where you think, ah, I get to wear this pair today. It's going to be a good day. That's a nice moment. And for me, that's Mack Weldon. I'm really excited when I open my drawer now and I can see one of my pairs of Mack Weldon in there because I think, yes, this is exactly the underwear I want to wear today. It's better than all my other underwear. I'm being completely honest when I say that. I could throw out my other stuff and be fine. And the reason that I love them so much is that once I put them on, that's the last I think about on the rest of the day till I take them off and take my shower because I don't have to think about them while I'm wearing them. My other underwear, maybe it rides up a little bit. I'm a boxer brief guy, so occasionally the legs get a little bunchy. You know what I'm saying? Your pants somehow push up the legs and like it's like rolling up your sleeves, but rolling up your underwear. I don't like that. I don't like having to think about that. I don't like having to adjust it in the middle of the day because you really got to force a hand down there in your pants. And if you wear tight pants, not easy. You got to go find a bathroom first of all. And then people are wondering what you're doing in the stall because they're not hearing any other normal stall sounds coming out of there. It's just a big mess. For 20% off your first order, visit mackweldon.com/QQ and enter promo code QQ. That's mackweldon.com/QQ with promo code QQ for 20% off. Mack Weldon, reinventing men's basics.
One thing I learned, my brother and sister-in-law used to live in North Carolina for a little while, and they went to a bunch of vineyards and like really got into it and learned a bunch of stuff. And one thing I learned from them that I thought was really fascinating is when they talk about what's in like a variety of wine, and they say like, oh, this one has notes of blueberry, notes of cherry. I, for most of my life, assumed that meant when they are building the wine, they are throwing literal blueberries and cherries and whatever else into the bucket that they're then stomping
like
on.
They would with beer.
But because this is a thing that's grown from the ground, a lot of there's less control over the taste of any given year of wine than wine makers have. I don't know if that sentence worked. They're subject to a lot of like environmental things. And sometimes a thing has a hint of blueberries in it because there was a blueberry farm down the road and there was a lot of rain that year. And the rain like pushed blueberry flavoring through the soil into the grapes. And that's how you get
that.
Whoa,
is that for real?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, there's a lot of like unpredictable magical stuff that goes into why wine tastes like it does.
Okay, that means, but like that's like a clear one-to-one relationship. Yeah. I've always thought it was, yeah, you had no control over how these grapes grow or like what's going to happen, but you just like, at the end you taste it and you're like, weird, chocolate. And that was just, you didn't ever fucking know why. It was just the sediment somehow combined into this weird conglomeration that tasted a little bit like chocolate.
No, yeah, it's because there was a chocolate farm down the road and it rained.
And it rained a lot that year. Okay, great. But I still, first of all, if you've ever been to a vineyard, if you're listening, you know that like they depend on exposure. Like you can't have a bunch of trees around a vineyard because it fucks it up. They need the grapes, need lots of sun. Yeah. So already, you know, you're going to a place that has no cover whatsoever. Like you're going to be out there and you're going to be out there in the sun all day. And the idea is to like, I don't mind drinking anything things that I don't like, but sure. I'm going to drink it fast. And I've got an intention in mind. This is like a vehicle to get me from A to B. I want to be I'm not drunk. And then I want to be drunk.
Right.
So like I'll drink wine if I have to, if that's like my last resort, but to like sit there and pretend like something, well, I shouldn't say pretend. I'm sure there are a lot of people that aren't pretending like that something else is going on and that we're all sort of like, we're all tasting something that's tasting really unique and fun is such a pretense, and like there's so much pageantry to it that I think is just nonsense, and I want nothing to do with it. And the fact that I now have to do it in the sun, yeah, it just pisses me off the most.
You pinpointed another thing that I don't like about it, which is that, like, if you go to a vineyard, you do a wine tasting, and then you can drink like wine. Then you get a full glass of wine, however many you want, and just like have your day. The vineyard doesn't mandate that, but that's like protocol. If you're going to a vineyard with a bunch of friends, let's do a tasting of 3 to 6 wines and then go on from there. That's very frustrating to me when I know like that. I know the wine that I want. I just want to drink that, and I want to drink a normal amount of it, but I have to pass this stupid quiz first. I have to go through these strange steps, these unskippable cutscenes in a video game that I just have to sit through until I can get to the part that I like.
Yeah, I mean, like, beer flights are a very similar thing, but they've really solved the problem. They give you the beer flight and they leave you the fuck alone. Yes. Like, it's yours to drink alone. Yeah. It's so fine. Maybe you want to taste like different sips of different things. I kind of get that, but to have somebody hovering over you to be like, so what do you taste? Yeah. What do you like? It's just, yeah, ugh, it's awful.
Unpleasant. My answer to this one is, museums. And I feel dumb saying that. And I know I am dumb, and that's fine. I don't enjoy museums. And like I like aquariums, and that seems adjacent to me. And I've certainly tried to go to museums, both like history and art museums. And I every time I've been to museums, and like the Geffen is a great example. The Geffen is in California. It's a famous museum. It's on this great compound that looks over Los Angeles. It's like a beautiful place to spend a day. And then, ugh, there are a bunch of buildings with fucking art in them. And I feel so out of place there, because the same way that you think anyone who enjoys wine is lying and bullshitting you, that's what I think whenever I see anyone looking at a painting for any amount of time. Because I think, you saw it. Keep walking. Because that's how my dumb brain works, is that every time I go to a museum, I feel a pressure to stand in front of a thing for the right amount of time, and I have no idea what that is. And every time I've gone to museums with friends, they seem to be really enjoying themselves and like getting something from the art. And I'm just like, I saw everything in this room, so I guess I'll wait. I'm just looking at stuff. You're consuming stuff, and that takes longer, so I'll wait. I'll pick a painting that's not near anyone else, and I'll like look at that while I think my thoughts for a while. And yes. I can't wait till we're done with this part of the museum so we can continue on with the next part of our day.
Yeah.
It seems smart. It seems sophisticated. I like people who like it, but I just... And I'm not against learning, obviously, but I just have never enjoyed any time I've ever been in a museum.
It has a lot of the same trappings as a wine tasting. Mm-hmm. You're on your feet the whole time. You're expected to stand in certain areas for long periods of time. And then it also, whether it's true or not, it does feel like you're constantly being tested.
Yeah, I feel
by
like
the people around you.
There's inherently a wrong way to do this, it seems like. And I don't need that kind of pressure. And this is just a strange aside to this, is that there's this immersive Van Gogh experience in New York where they've converted this big warehouse into a thing. I think it was inspired by Emily in Paris on Netflix, a show I never watched. But
you called it the right name. That was so generous of you.
Oh, thank you. So you go in there and there's like a bunch of different rooms with like different things set up, different mirrors, different like physical, visually interesting things from room to room. And on the walls and ceilings and floors of the whole place is like this running video of evolving Van Gogh paintings, where just like, now I'm in Starry Night, now I'm in the flowers one, now I'm in the one with his ear. And it's like, it's genuinely very cool. I was just like hypnotized by it. My friend Mary and I we sat through the whole thing. Is like a 40 minute long presentation, and we just sat through it twice. We went in different rooms and like, now we're gonna sit on top of these stairs and look at it. Okay, now we're gonna go over here, we're gonna sit and see what it looks like to view everything from this perspective. And I was like, this is neat, this is interesting, this is an experience just like they said, and I'm happy I did it. And since I went there, I've seen two articles online this week talking about what a bougie, bullshit, awful experience this is, how it's a terrible trend for art, and how it's not the way art's supposed to be consumed, and why would anyone do this? And it's museums are shutting down, but these things are sprouting up, and that's bad for art writ large. I'm like, well, what the fuck then? I'm sorry. I tried to play art with you guys, and you don't like the things that I like, and I'm sorry.
I've gone to a lot of art museums. First of all, natural history museums, I disagree with you on, only because I'm into it.
Yeah.
Like I love seeing a bone being like, could just imagine the temporal immensity of this bone. This bone is millions of years old, and getting very excited about that and being like, I want to touch it. I just want to touch it.
But you can't.
And no, you can't touch it. But there's like, seeing dinosaurs, seeing animals that were alive during the Ice Age, I'm way into all that stuff. But an art museum, I'm with you for the most part. I don't have the tools necessary. Like the way that you read a story, or you read like a short story now, or a novel, you've got this whole arsenal of like tools to dissect this thing and really understand it and see how it works. And you could get excited about that because you learn those things in school. And I've never taken an art history class in my life. And that means that when I go to a museum, I go to the Louvre, I'm like, okay, Christ painting, cool. Another Christ painting, excellent. Okay, Christ, that's Christ. Yeah. That's definitely Christ.
Oh, like, yes, this was the Christ period.
I don't have the ability to like really look at it in any other terms than superficially. I could be like, I know those colors. I know that they're using a lot of bright colors down in that corner and not over there because that's how you draw the eye. That's the limit. Like, that's all I know. And so it doesn't mean a ton to me. But if I can go to the ancient Greek section, then I'm like, okay, now I'm at home. Like, I can deal with this because I learned a lot about like Elgin marbles and friezes and things like that, where I can say, okay, I know exactly what's going on in the scene. I know what they're depicting. I know why this was important. And, look at the grimace on their face. Well, that's interesting. I wonder why they would have put a grimace on his face as opposed to a smile. He's winning. And like that kind of thing, where I can finally ask the right questions. And I don't have that for anything else in an art museum.
I want to be clear how open I am to appreciating art. Like, I know I won't be able to do it on the intellectual level of someone who went to an art history school, but I want the experience that Cameron from Ferris Bueller had, where like I want to look at a painting and feel something, and like not necessarily need to understand it, but just like connect with it. I'm very open to that. I just haven't had that. And like the other things that you could do when you're in a museum is like read about it, which is, you know, not as interesting often as like an emotional connection, or like, not to throw your statue stuff under the bus, but a very common thing when people are looking at big statues, like the common refrain about Michelangelo's David is like, man, he looked at a piece of marble and he saw that and then he made it. Like, I understand why people say that. And not to make a one-to-one comparison of these things, but I'm like, yeah, probably because he studied and he paid attention and he's smart and he's gifted. I looked at a blank piece of paper and made after hours, motherfucker. Like, if we're good at something, you know how to look at one thing and turn it into something else. That's what skill is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to applaud him for doing the thing he set out to do well.
Pop culture has led you to believe that anyone can just sit there at a painting and like, and get the painting, that there would somehow be like an answer key that's upside down on it, and it would have like all the answers of what the art is. And if you just look at it long enough, you'd figure it out. It's like a crossword, basically. Like, but we just don't have that. Like, or it's also led you to believe that only people like Frasier get it. And that's also not true. It's just like, you need the very basic understanding of how to approach this thing before you can appreciate it at all. And I just don't fucking have.
Yeah. Maybe that's
at least with
maybe
paintings.
That's good. I don't know. Should art be exclusive? I don't know.
No, but I've been to like modern art museums too, and like somebody will do. I can appreciate that something looks like something it's not. I'll explain that because that's hard to understand. But I went to a museum and there was a big, looked like a big balloon animal. a gigantic balloon animal, but it was actually made out of metal. So it looked like it was full of air, and it looked bigger than it should be. But when you actually got close enough, you realized that it was chrome, and that it was shiny, and that you could touch it, and it was completely hard. And I was like, ah, so that's a talent. The same way like a statue, they can make a statue look like it's got this, the woman wearing like a thin shawl or something. You can make clothing look wispy on somebody out of marble. Like, I'm like, yes, okay, there's something cool. Like, that's, you shouldn't be able to do that. But outside of that, I can't get on board. I don't understand it. Well, there's one more that I have that I want to bring up.
Another question or an answer for this one?
No, another answer for this one. Okay, cool. I have tried. I've done this twice now in my life, two different locations. So, like, I think I've got a pretty good base for this. I hate massages. Mm. I absolutely hate the experience. And it has very little to do with the fact that I don't know this person and they're touching me intimately on my back. It has to do with the fact that I just don't like the feeling of it. Even when my wife would give me a massage, I don't like the feeling of my muscles sliding around on bone, and I get nothing out of it. There's nothing, even if I'm in pain, like if I have worn a backpack on a trip or something like that and come back and I'm like, oh, I can feel the knots on my back. Somebody then touching those knots and like pushing them around on me is, ugh, oh, I hate even the idea of it.
I do like that. I famously used to hate massages, but I think a few things changed since then. One is like I've stripped the idea of it being an intimate thing completely out of it. It's now purely a medicinal thing for me. Like I only go when I have knots in my shoulder from carrying a backpack, from backpacking or from after a big race. Yeah, I want you to pound something out of my shoulder or pound something out of my glutes or my legs. And I guess one and two are sort of the same thing. Like two this is not designed to be relaxing for me. I like to go in there and say, fix my shoulder. I know that the thing is you pay for an hour for a full body massage. I don't care about any of that. Get my shoulder and like anything that you feel like is connected to my shoulder, because you're going to, my back and shoulder are very bad. And if you're a masseuse worth your salt, you're going to know immediately, oh, he keeps a lot of problems right here. So like spend an hour just pounding the shit out of that. And we can all lie afterwards and say you did my hands too or whatever.
So my wife is the opposite. She loves massages just like that. She likes it to be like, she wants it to be punishment basically, because she's getting to an end result, which is, my back feels better. Cause she's got some real, real problems in her back. And so like, I will fuck her up basically. Like I've like putting an elbow in her back and like pushing down as hard as I can and really like pushing my thumbs into her back in a way where I'm like, there's no way this is nice. And her going, and I'm like, do you want me to stop? And she's like, no, it feels good. And I'm like, that can't be true. But you've just associated whatever the end result is with this feeling good, because this is clearly painful. And I've never had that end result. I've never been in a situation where somebody gave me a massage and at the end I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, I can finally turn my head to the left. This is incredible. I guess I just have been very fortunate. Yeah. This is my privilege, maybe showing that I don't have back problems.
Yeah, there's someone I follow on Twitter, Nicole Thurman. She's an actress and writer, and she's very funny. She tweeted yesterday the question, what's your fantasy? And then her answer, someone standing on one side of my back that always hurts, like putting their entire weight on me, or like taking my trapezius muscle fully out of my body and untangling it or whatever till it's fresh, then putting it back in my body. That I relate to that very much. Just like, yeah, that's, I can't go to a massage parlor and say, here is $110, stand on my back in one spot for 60 minutes, and then that's it. But that's what I want. And like, and that's as I will get as close to that as I could possibly get anytime I get a massage.
Yeah. I just don't understand it. My brother says that he gets massages where he only really likes it when they like really climb up onto his back, where like their knees are in his back and like, they're like basically like dropping, elbow dropping into his back. And I'm like, I just don't, That sounds so unpleasant to me. And my son is the same way. And maybe it's something, a childhood thing I just never grew out of. But like, if I try to give him a back massage at all, he flips out. He flips out because it's like the most, it's the, such a weird feeling. It's like a naturally weird, weird feeling to feel your muscle being moved around on a bone. When people are give me those rollers to roll out your muscles, I can't do that either. It's just so, it feels so wrong. It feels like I'm flattening something inside my body that shouldn't be flattened.
Huh. Have you ever tried one of those Theragun things?
No.
They're pretty good, but they're expensive.
Yeah, there's one at my gym. I bet they'd really? Let me try it, but yeah.
Equinox,
the
sure.
The perks of Equinox. The perks of the Knox. Well, okay. Oh, but I should also update you that people are using the battle ropes correctly at the gym.
Oh, good. Though. Did you teach them or?
Yeah. No, there was a real turnaround when the... I'm laughing not that like we don't have any listeners, but that would be our demographic. Is so that really tickles me. No, the trainer started using it, and the trainer started showing people, and then I think other people saw the trainers, and they were like, "Ooh,
that okay. makes sense."
Let's all pretend that we're starting from scratch right now, and that I've always known how to do this. There's one other update I wanted to give you, Dan, that I forgot to give you on the last one, and it seems like an important life update. I am a pet owner now.
Sacre bleu!
Yeah. Yeah. I have a cat.
Holy shit!
Yeah, I have a kitten that we got for my son for his birthday, and he's been so good as a pet owner. I'm really impressed with him. He feeds it every morning. He enjoys scooping the litter box. Now, you might be thinking, how did you land on cat, Soren?
Sure.
He wanted a turtle
really
badly. And we were like, this is a circumstance in which we didn't want a pet at all. But like, he wanted a turtle. And we were like, yeah, turtle seems easy. Let's do turtle. So we were not immediately telling him, no, you're not getting a turtle for your birthday. We were kind of like, okay, well, we'll see. We'll see. And that's a dangerous path to go down unless you've already done your research. Because a turtle, first of all, turtles live for like 30 years. And if you want a tortoise, it outlives you and your children. It's like it lives to be like 110. So don't get a tortoise. And then the turtles themselves are, he's going to be in college and everything. He'll have his own children by the time this turtle dies. And I don't want a pet for that long. I know that the minute he acknowledges that like he can't just take this thing out and really play with it and be affectionate with it, that he's going to lose interest in it. And the other thing is that I didn't realize two things. The turtle, after you play with it, you got to go wash your hands really well immediately afterwards so that you don't get salmonella, which is like completely new information to me. You have a poison pet that you can't play with without washing your hands.
I think we knew that growing up because there was turtles in the woods near our house that we would like come home with and be like, look, Mom, I named this one. And she would explain, put it back, wash your hands.
And the other thing is that to take a guess, Dan, I don't know if you know cubic feet or cubic inches, like what size that is, like how big like 4 cubic inches would be as opposed to 40.
I feel like you should know, I don't.
I want you to take a guess at how big of a terrarium they say you need to be humane to a turtle, like that isn't torture to a turtle.
Can I say like...
And this is like little painted turtle, like a small one, not like the ones you had at your old place. They're like small.
Can I say like 2 feet long and then like a foot back?
Yeah. Yeah, that's like a 20-gallon tank. They say you need a 50-gallon tank to not be a complete asshole to this animal. They're like, the pet police wouldn't come by and be like, oh, no, you
I was going to wonder, like, but is there an asshole option?
Yeah, there absolutely is an asshole option. The 20-gallon tank is definitely an asshole option. And that's what I would have assumed. Like, the same thing you would put lizards in. You're like, okay, this looks big enough. No, you need a massive thing for a turtle. And half of it has to be filled with water. I shouldn't say half. But like a section of it has to have ground and a section of it has to have water. So you're constantly changing that water out.
That's a big pain.
And cleaning it and everything. And it's tougher to do filtration than it would be if you had just an aquarium because it's not completely filled with water. You've got like other stuff getting in there because you got the sand or whatever the island is you've created for this turtle. And we were just like, it's completely impossible. It's not practical at all that we would have a turtle for him. And we've started talking about pets already. And so we started just running through pets in our mind. We're like, what can we tolerate? And we're like, okay, I guess a hamster, a gerbil. And then we're like, you know, cats are actually pretty easy to take care of. They're not difficult. They're fun to play with. They're nice to pet. They sleep most of the day and they usually come potty trained. And so we were like, okay, let's see if we can convince him. And so one day I was like, Ronan, we're going to go to a shelter and we're going to see some animals and you can make a decision. And like, so we went to a shelter, we sat in a little room and we're like, can we see, we'd like to have this cat brought to us. And they bring it out and you play with it for a little while. And immediately he was like, yeah, I want a cat. And I'm like, okay, well, let's look at some cats. He's like, no, I want this cat.
Awesome.
You're like, okay. And so what we I expected to be just like a day where I would turn him to mammals, ended up being a day that we actually got the cat. And she's a young kitten. She's completely black. She's very cute. Last of her litter. And she's been
That's not
great.
An easy impulse.
She's a great cat. Not at all, because then you got to get all the stuff, the accoutrement that come with the cat. There's all kinds of stuff you need. And already I'm like, she's such a part of the family that I worry about her.
I love this.
Like, I'll see something new in her eye, and I'm like, okay, there's goop in her eye. I got to figure this out. It's like I'm on the internet at night just researching cat goop in their eye and like all the things it could be. And she lost a little bit of hair. She's got some sort of alopecia, mm-hmm. which I think is probably an allergy. So she's got some alopecia on one ear. And I'm like, fuck. Like, sometimes cats lose their hair when they got cancer. Do you think this is cancer? So I have an appointment lined up for her on Sunday where I'm taking her in to get all these things looked at so they can assure me that everything's okay. But yeah, she's been a great cat. She's very affectionate to even to strangers, like when people come to our house. She seems to love us. She's very tolerant of my daughter for a kitten. And I would say even for an adult cat, like my daughter will be like, oh, cool tail. And just like try to grab it. And the cat will be lying in her room. And my daughter is not careful about where she's mm-hmm. walking. And, we'll just occasionally accidentally kick the cat or like almost step on it. And she just is like, yeah, that's fine. And my daughter gives foreheads to show affection. That's just like a adorable thing that happened early on, is very adorable and fun because she learned it from her brother because we forced him to give her a forehead when she wanted to be acknowledged, and now she does it. And so she's giving the cat foreheads constantly, which is very funny to watch because the cat's so small that she has to like get way down low when she's standing up to try and like put her forehead on this cat. And it's been great. It's been great having a cat.
And so have you not even tweeted about this?
No, I have not talked to anybody.
What
about
is the cat's
cat.
Name? Is it? Are we allowed to say, or is this like a protective thing?
Yeah, okay. No, that's fine. So the cat came with the name Divina, which is, I assume, fancy for divine.
Okay. I was going to say that's the girl Danny DeVito.
Divina, and I was like, so when I was getting the information about the chip and everything, I was like, so I can just change the name on the chip, right? And they were like, yeah, absolutely. That's sort of expected that when you bring the animal home, you change the name. So we're bringing her home and I'm like, so what do you want to name her? And he's like, her name is Divina. I'm like, yeah, but you could name this cat anything. She could be a shadow. She'd be a ninja, if that's not mm-hmm. problematic yet. And my son was like, no, her name is Divina. And I was like,
all right.
Okay, I'm going to level with you. That name sucks. Can we change it to something else? And he's like, no, I like Divina. So the cat's name is Divina. And I call her Vina.
That's acceptable.
And she's been awesome. Other than occasionally, you know, I guess cats get very active around sunrise and sunset. And she will try to climb our screens during those twilight hours. Oh, fucking, right. I said it. Did it sound
was
all right?
Better than normal.
Okay, those twilight hours, she'll climb the screens or do something weird. She'll make some weird decisions about like, I think I want to live in this plant now. Like just like get in a potted
plant.
Yeah, I'm
very curious for you to discover all the things that will be brand new concerns for you. Not just like even health things, but stuff like climbing screens, stuff like I brought Jackson home and one day he just like chewed through a cable for a lamp. And I was like, oh, I used to be able to put cables wherever I wanted. All right. This is new now.
Yeah. Yeah. That we've discovered a few of those problems already. Like anytime we open a cabinet or anything, this cat will run and jump into the cabinet. You're like, no, 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 you cannot be in there. So we have to be very careful with that. She's also very eager to go outside. And I grew up with outdoor cats. The only thing my dad ever said to any of the cats we owned as a child was, sure, kitty, you can go outside, and would just grab the cat and put it outside. And so I'm not allowed to put the cat outside. I checked in with other pet owners in Los Angeles, and I was like, that's bullshit, right? They're just like being overly cautious. And people are like, no, don't let your cat outside. There are a lot of strays, and they can pick up diseases or infections from those other cats. There's flea issues. There's all kinds of dangers in Los Angeles that I didn't account for a cat. So she's an indoor cat. Awesome.
I'm very excited for you with this next chapter, and I'm thrilled that it's getting along with the kids.
Yeah, it's great. It's been, because cats can have some like weird neuroses, and this one seems pretty cool. Yeah. I think we lucked out.
Well, great. This was a pretty good episode. What do you think?
Okay, yeah, great. We can end it.
You can find me on Twitter at @DOB_INC or Soren at Soren_LTD. You can find our business boss at @MakeMeBaconPLS. That's @MakeMeBaconPlease on Twitter. You can email the show qq@soren.daniel@gmail.com or find us on Twitter at @twitter.com/qq_soren_dan. We also have a Patreon that you can do whatever you want on Patreon. shout out to our guest editor, Maya. If she wants, we will put her information in the show notes so you can find and hire her for all of your editing, engineering, podcast recording, producing needs. And I think that's probably about it. Oh, I wanted to do something. You're not allowed to answer now, Soren. It's a preview for our next episode. I'm just going to give you a bit of it now. I texted a picture of my leg to an ex. Do you think that's weird? You have a couple weeks to think about it, and then we'll circle back in our next episode.
Oh, no.
All right, bye.
All right, bye.